Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Keith, welcome back.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm fine, Double K.
Joe and Keith don't get a chance to run into each other outside of, well, basketball season we do, but outside of that, so a reunion of sorts.
Yeah.
And it is a holiday, was yesterday, so that's why we bring in Joe here on a Tuesday to get things all wrapped up, because we have plenty of stuff to get caught up with this morning, and it starts, as we always do, on the high school side of things. Joe, in a couple regional competitions tonight, the Panthers go south for tennis, and track and field is all about it. Did you tell me last week that 44 of the 48 regional spots were from county kids or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah.
Wow, what a performance in the sectional. Joe, can they keep it up tonight?
Well, I tell you, we're going to find out as we move the week now to the regional level of the Ralph Siebold Oval out at Bloomington North tonight. Field events go at 6, followed by all of the finals and spots in this year's state championship. A lot to pick from. Justin Helmer's North Cougs won the sectional last week for the girls, buoyed by Jayla Campbell's new sectional mark of 58.86 in the 400 meters, beating South, the Cougs, by 7.5 points. Greasy Heeb won both hurdles. Meanwhile, Tom Stokes, South Panthers, shooting to unseat North this week as regional champ, will get outside challenges of both city schools from Terre Haute North and Jeffersonville. Megan Grabowski's top-seeded in both sprints after double up last week. South won both the 400 and 3200 meter relays and owned the top seeds going into those events tonight. Mentioning the 3200 individually, South's Alexis Lewandowski and Grace Williams of North will again challenge Bloomfield standout Allie Workman in that event. The field events will be interesting to watch as North sectional champs Lauren Jordan, along with Elena Walls and Mandy Garman, will try to nail down regional titles in the shot, discus, and pole vault, respectively. South's Emily Amon won last week's sectional in the long jump. Edgewood has Amber Vikrumba, who won the high jump. All told, area girls and relay teams holding 22 of the top three seeds going into competition tonight. And the boys, they'll be out on the track for regional action Thursday night out on the Siebold Oval. Meanwhile, sectional softball action begins out at Winslow tonight at 6. Make Montgomery's defending 4A state champions open up against 14-game winner East Central. Emily Kron's North Cougs, very much in this sectional title conversation this spring, has Columbus East tonight. Both city schools riding the arms, of course, of Olivia White and Kenzie Ridge. The Cougs are 15-9, and they should get by five-time winner and a struggling Columbus East outfit tonight. Should both city outfits win tonight, they'll play Thursday night in the semifinals out at Winslow. Mick Hammett's Edgewood Mustangs will look to annex a sectional championship. They'll get rolling against Owen Valley over at Northview on Wednesday night. Meanwhile, Sam Kirchival's South Tennis Queens back on top as sectional titleists, ruining a Bloomington North's hopeful three-peat. Now will host the regional tonight, looking for its first regional title here this week in 8 years, facing 13-game winner Greensburg. Columbus North and Seymour play in the other semifinal. The regional title will go on the line Wednesday night on the Panther courts. We wish South the very best there. North, by the way, hosts the baseball sectional Wednesday night. Defending champion South stepping out against Shelbyville in the opener. The Cougs drew East Central, but they won't play until Friday night semifinal. Edgewood closed out 15-6 with a 7-6 Memorial Day win over at Linton on Monday. Michael Allender hit his first home run of the year, a two-run shot keying a three-run sixth frame for Bob Jones's crew. The Mustangs will open Saturday, and by the way, they'll be hosting a sectional. They play either Northview or West Vigo, who open things on Wednesday night at Ermal Clark Field over in Ellettsville. Both baseball sectional titles will be decided next Monday night. Well, the Reds on a 9-game losing streak. This is bad as it's been in 4 years. They'll be hosting Colorado to try to turn things around tonight. First pitch on the airwaves at 7:10.
Yep, and the Red Legs, Joe, will hopefully get them straightened out, but we've got plenty of high school action, as you mentioned. If you didn't stay up late last night, Houston held off Golden State. They avoid the sweep. The Rockets win, and they head back to Golden State down 3-1. Yeah. It's better than being out 4-0. tonight, Atlanta has that chance to happen to them. The number one seed in the East, one more game in Cleveland. Cleveland leads that series 3-0. The Blackhawks with a furious rally last night. I think, well, I'm just going to check this one more time before I go. Just one more time. It's 4-2. Anaheim has just scored with 2:24 or something left, or 5:05 left to go. And I think, well, it's 4-2. I'm just going to stick around, watch the empty netter go in, and I'll go to bed. And next thing you know, Jonathan Toews scores 2 goals with the empty net behind him, forcing that game into overtime. But it wasn't to be the Blackhawks' night. Anaheim scores, what, 47 seconds into overtime and wins that one. Game 5, that was Game 5. Anaheim leads 3-2. They're back in Chicago tomorrow night. Rangers and Tampa tonight in Tampa. The Lightning looking to close that out, but briefly, we'll get to it more in detail next hour, but IU Hoosiers are in the NCAA baseball tournament, Joe, for a third time in a row.
Well, they had to wait a little bit as the teams were being shown on the screen yesterday as the selection show was aired, but Indiana getting that 3 seed and down to Music City, USA. They're headed on Friday down in Nashville, Tennessee to take on the Radford Highlanders, who is a baseball club that's ranked in the top 25 and won both the Big South regular season and tournament titles, 43-14 overall. So first things first for Indiana there. But for the first time in school history, 3 consecutive years in which the baseball Hoosiers have made the big show.
Yep, and fantastic job there by everybody involved with that program.
Question.
Even though they were a little sloppy getting knocked out of the Big Ten semifinals by Maryland on Saturday. Again, rewarded for their hot finish. And as the gentleman adroitly mentioned on television yesterday, they weren't in the conversation a month ago. They had to play themselves in, and they did just that.
We all know that. And so far this month of May, it'll be wrapping up and starting June for Indiana this weekend with June rolling up next Monday. But 11-3 this month, so playing its best baseball. And that was a disappointment. But, you know, 56 games have been played, and everybody now 0-0.
Joe Smith joins us here on a Tuesday morning. Why? Well, yesterday was a holiday Monday, so we get caught up on a busy weekend. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning again.
Yeah, thanks, sir, for making the time for us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, Smitty, are we going to have a triple crowner this year?
I think we are.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're not. But we'll get we'll cover that next week before the running of the Belmont. Well, Joe, Lucy pulls the football away every time. I'm not buying into that hype.
We have had 14 horses shoot
14
down
14.
Through the years.
Not one of them. And there's been great ones.
I understand.
They're all great when you win 2 races like that. I get it, but there's the football. Here comes Charlie Brown and right on his keister every time. I'm not buying into this.
I understand. So.
But he's been doing this longer than you have, Mike.
I know he has. And you know what he's seen? I was 4 years old the last time I was a Triple Crown winner, Keith. Think about that for 5 minutes. There you go. And I'm not a spring chicken anymore.
Uh-huh. Nor am I.
But, Smitty, we're here to talk a little baseball.
Yes,
we'll get
to
the ponies next week. And the reason we're talking baseball is Chris Lemonis in his first year at the helm as a head coach in college baseball in his first year with the Hoosiers. He's kept a tradition moving right along, and that's NCAA regional baseball.
Well, it's time to begin the new season for Chris Lemonis' baseball Hoosiers. And for the first time in program history, the Hoosiers again headed to the NCAAs. They'll play down in Nashville, Tennessee, Friday at 3 o'clock. It's a third consecutive year in the big show, as I mentioned, playing as the 3 seed alongside Big South Conference and tournament champion, the Radford Highlanders. Hawkins Field, home base of the Vanderbilt Commodores, who lost to Florida in the SEC title game over the Memorial Holiday weekend, costing the defending national champions one of the 8 national seeds. Indiana, one of 5 Big Ten clubs with an invite to the 64-team field. That's never happened before, and neither has it happened to Radford's baseball program. They're currently ranked number 24, winning 43 games. And well, indeed, the shoe, you might say, is on the other foot, perhaps, for the Hoosier baseballers. Can the Hoosiers be the Stanford of a year ago when, disappointingly, they were dropped, Indiana, as the national 4 seed on that walk-off home run, which brought to a close a tremendous season that Stanford administered by beating Indiana twice a year later, playing at Vandy, who is hosting a big regional for the fourth time in 5 years. And by the way, they beat Stanford in the super regional last spring in its march to the national championship. But IU could ruin things with solid play in Nashville this weekend, much like the Cardinal did to them a year ago out at the Bard. Vandy has four-seed Lipscomb, who got in with an automatic bid, winning the Atlantic Sun tournament title. Coach Chris and pitching coach Kyle Bunn will work today and tomorrow on the scout report of the Highlanders and the pitching rotation. Certainly, even in defeat and out in four games in the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis, quality starts from Christian Morris and Caleb Berger to help bolster a rotation of Luke Harrison and Kyle Hart and the bullpen of Scott Efros and Jake Kelzer, not to mention Will Corson Carr and closer Ryan Halstead. Hart and Morris getting those Hoosier wins in the Big Ten tournament, by the way. And we all know that steady arms loom large now that the stage is a bit bigger. Illinois received a national 6 seed, and they'll be hosting over in Champaign later in the week. Also in, Big Ten tourney champion Michigan, Iowa, and Maryland making the field. By the way, ticket information for Indiana's opener against Radford on Friday afternoon can be found on iuhoosiers.com. They'll link you up with the Vanderbilt ticket information there for the ball games this weekend. Meanwhile, Steve Peterson's Rowers are off later in the week to Sacramento, California. Its second straight NCAA appearance. We wish them well there. Certainly an eye on the sky with the weather forecast, but a lot happening on the local beat tonight. High school-wise, girls track regional out at North starts at 6. The South Greensburg tennis match will get the regional rolling down on the Panther courts, and North and South both do out at Winslow. The Southsiders will play first, the defending 4A state champions, against East Central at 6 o'clock, and followed by the North Cougars at 7:30, weather permitting. So let's hope for good things there, as well as the Reds as well, as they began their week on a downer, as they lost their 9th in a row. First pitch tonight against the Colorado Rockies, who beat them 5-4 on Memorial Day. Here on the airwaves, first pitch at 7:10.
Hey, you can't walk guys in the 9th inning, Joe.
No, you can't. Not with your quote-unquote best.
No, throwing sliders all day instead of 99-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Can't understand then
you get
that.
Seeing eye single, then another one, and away you go.
Yep.
Wasn't like the ball was hit hard, but it doesn't matter.
Nope.
The Reds in Colorado. Tonight, Michael Lorenzen gets the ball, and let's see if the youngster can shake it up and try something and try to get the Reds on a winning note there.
Yep.
Now, last night in hockey, Blackhawks scored 2 late goals, unbelievably so.
Open net, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were 6-on-5. They needed to because they had nothing else. If you're going to lose, you're down 4-2. If you lose 5-2, it's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Toews scores twice in about 60 seconds, put the game in overtime, but the Anaheim Mighty Ducks score 45 seconds into the overtime period. Sudden death. They lead 3-2, game 6 in Chicago tomorrow night. Rangers and Lightning from Tampa tonight. Tampa looks to close out that series. The Rangers have to win to force game 7 back at Madison Square Garden. Steph Curry took a nasty fall last night.
Saw that.
But he came back. The day off today is going to make him feel a little bit better. But the Rockets, who laid a tremendous egg at home, getting beat by 35 points on Friday night, rallied for a big win last night. That series is 3-1 as they head back to Golden State, where the Warriors will finish that series off tomorrow night. LeBron and the Cavs have game 4 in Cleveland. They lead Atlanta 3-0. You got a prediction for tonight's game there in Cleveland?
I think it'll be a sweep.
Think you're exactly. You're exactly right.
What a game that number 23 had the other day.
Whew. It was ridiculous.
What was that, 37, 18, and 13?
Yeah, something like that. That's a good
I've
series
seen
for
those
most
numbers,
people.
Maybe ever.
There haven't been many of them
the
in the playoffs. Not at that.
Wow.
Not at that level. So that's where we are at. There. It's really a quiet sports week. We know the race happened. We know Juan Pablo Montoya was nothing better than a deserving champion. I've got a stat for you here because I know you're a big racing guy. I saved this one just for you. Montoya. Where did this go? Montoya he's raced in 3 Indy 500s, Joe.
Right.
3 of them. He has turned 600 laps. He has led 192 of them. 32%. He has 2 wins. does Montoya. He is it's the biggest span between wins. Is that true, Joe?
Yeah, 15 years.
15 years. So, yeah. Again, the guy goes there, and all he does is lead laps and win trophies.
Yeah, and he started off not in the position he wanted to, but came from way back.
Did you hear your buddy Marco Andretti after the race?
No, I didn't. I missed that.
Very unhappy. He does not like the car. He says we can't go any faster. It handles great, but we're 3 miles an hour slower than everybody else.
So the Chevy stayed on all fours, and they were quicker. They had been the entire month, and he still finished a respectable
He said I couldn't have driven it. He could say I couldn't have driven it any better. He says I couldn't have driven it any faster, and he goes, I'm done being patient. I'm done. And he was very candid, and I think that's why people like Marco, because he didn't come out and tell you, you know, was just unlucky. He said, no, my car did not go fast enough on the day.
That could be a problem on race.
Well, I tell you what, and but that was the great news. Montoya drove a wonderful race. It was fun to watch the replay, and we're out of time, buddy.
All right.
Great talking to you. Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday.
All righty. Sounds good.